I really appreciate Kristen, Kimmy, Kelsey when she's able to come, Chip, to lead us in worship. And please encourage them whenever you can. Okay? Thank you.
So please bring on the soup. So this guy's sitting in a restaurant. He says, "Waiter, waiter, there's a fly in my soup." And the waiter looks over. He pulls out a zipper. He says, "Sorry, sir, our chef used to be a tailor." That's why I'm sitting up here instead of on stage. Pulled out a zipper. Our chef used to be a tailor. A fly. Thanks, Brandon. Lord, would you please stand, everybody? Lord, when the veil is parted and we see you face to face, we will find out fully who and what you are. Our frail human minds couldn't handle it. Our faith in this world is imperfect, but we hope it's enough to satisfy you. Please give us the strength to fully believe and to worship you with righteous intent. Be our strength, Lord. Please bless us and guide our hearts and minds so that we may bless your name and one day dwell in your house. Amen. All right, ready? Thank you. clapped for it. That's what amazing love our Lord has for us. We who live lives of sin and ungodliness, who worship idols and think shameful thoughts, that he would even consider redeeming us are utter acts of mercy and love. But he did. Through faith in Jesus, we are redeemed. Through his ultimate sacrifice, we have a pathway to heaven. Jesus, you are my King, and it is my joy and honor to worship and honor you. Nothing wrong with her. She remembers how all this stuff goes, and I have a problem with memory. It's all making a joyful noise. You know? All right, so lift up your voice before our King. His rightful praise to him we sing. Love and praise with all your might, he who protects us from the night. Underscore his love for us, that he sent his Son because our frail dependence on our thoughts cause harm and hatred on all parts of the earth. Only true faith in him will pull us through. Say it with me. Only true faith in him will pull us through. One more time. Only true faith in him will pull us through. Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you.
from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Repeat with me. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. For a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates that his own love for us is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh my goodness. That's true. Paul compares Jesus' sacrifice to others who died for a cause. It's rare for people to die for someone who is moral or upright, rarer still for those who are immoral or hateful. Jesus died for people who were hateful towards him. He died not only for us, but for every sinner, murderer, criminal, agnostic, bad and mean person under creation. Jesus died for everyone, regardless of morality, equally because he loves us all. Sure.
Was it last summer or the summer before, I don't remember when all the riots happened in the cities. I heard some people, they should have never happened, don't get me wrong, but, you know, a lot of people coming down hard on the people. And I said, why don't you pray that they get saved? Right? I mean, that, not to condone what they did was horrible, but we need to pray that they might get saved. And, you know, if we still believe God is in the business of saving people, there's nobody beyond his grace. And so, you know, when we see stuff like this, you know, they have to be held accountable, no question, which they weren't, but they have to be held accountable. And yet, through it, you know, God can save people. You remember Chuck Colson, right? The convicted felon because of Watergate. The president of Raytheon Electronics shared the gospel with him right before he went to prison. And he gave his life to Christ the night before he went to prison. And you know the long story. I mean, he didn't sleep for the first couple of months there because he was so afraid. Here, I'm a politician in prison. You know, I'm going to be a punching bag for a lot of the prisoners. And then God laid it on his heart to do a Bible study. And started growing and growing and growing until when he got discharged from prison, he said, God gave me this ministry. How gracious God is. And Colson's with the Lord now, but his prison ministry still goes on around the whole world. Amazing. Amazing. So, you know, getting in trouble is not necessarily the end. So we pray for people to be saved. I pray for our political people to be saved, right? Whether they're Republican or Democrat. I pray for our own mayor. One of our councilmen, I understand, was pretty ill in the hospital. I don't know with what. Is it? Nick? Oh, Jim Burns. Okay. Wow. Yeah, there's another councilman in town. His first name is Nick. You know. word I got was that he was in the hospital. So we need to pray for people. You know, Jesus said it well. He said, pray for your enemies. Right? Pray for your enemies. And they were not really our enemies. They're his enemies. He died for them. And yet, you know, they've been rejecting him. So pray for them. We have this service, the accent on God's grace, and what that means to us in a practical way, and we'll talk about that. But let's pray for those who are still suffering, those who are in the hospitals or at home suffering. We also need to pray for the church. I want to say the church, not this, just this church, but the American church in general. We need to pray for our young people. It seems like a lot more young people now are getting ill, even though they're handling it better. But it seems like they're getting ill, too. You know how you remember, as a parent, school days, kids would come home with everything, right? Yeah. And sometimes they use their teachers as a napkin. And that's how things spread. So we need to pray. We need to pray for our health workers who are on the front lines, and that God sustain them. We're thankful for recoveries. You know, my brother and Gloria had COVID. Besides, you know, the stroke issues that Gloria's been dealing with. But she reached a milestone yesterday. She was able to get dressed by herself. Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's an answer to prayer. So we have to celebrate the victories, right? We really need to celebrate the victories. Personally, I'm glad that God woke me up today. I didn't wake up dead, right? I didn't wake up dead. So we have a lot for which to be thankful, and you know, and a lot to pray for. So let's pray. Would you join me? Father, we just thank you and praise you for our great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. I pray today, Father, that you give us a little bit of a deeper understanding of your grace and your love for us. And Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would help us to put in action our thankful response to your love. And Father, I do pray for those who are still suffering with COVID, with other ailments, that Father, we pray for healing. We pray that, Father, the healing would be complete. We thank you for the victories, Father, that Gloria is making remarkable progress in her recovery from the stroke, that my brother and my family, Father, have recovered from COVID, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the medical workers that you provide, the doctors, the nurses, the medical staff, the first responders, the police, the fire. Father, guard them. Guard them. Many are discouraged. Many, Father, have seen people die alone. And many, Father, have come down with this disease. So, Father, we want to lift them and their families up to you. And, Father, for the American church, I pray, would you send revival? Would you send to us a season of confession and repentance? And help us, Father, by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, to be the church you mean us to be in this country. And Father, we lay all these things at the foot of the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I have a couple of people for the offering, please, to help with the offering? Okay. Hey, Joe. Thank you. Give one to Doc, maybe. Whoop, there you go. I want to thank you all. You guys really are generous givers, and thank you. We're one of the few churches in the county that hasn't really been financially impacted by COVID. And that's a credit to you guys, and we thank you for that. God has provided for us every step of the way. He has provided for us every step, and he'll continue to provide for us. So my prayer is that in the not-too-distant future, we get everybody back, and we can have fellowship together. We want to have a fellowship dinner, but we're going to hold that until we're reasonably sure that this recent spike has subsided, and we would take all the precautions necessary. So, we really want to get together. It's good for us to get together, isn't it? It's really good. So thank you. Thank you all. You know, I was half kidding before. I forgot my notes. Oh, well. I was half kidding before when I said, I'm glad God woke me up today. I think it was at the theological roundtable this week. We were talking about how precious the promises of God become. And I've never been old before. Have you? I don't know. I've never been old before. But I'll tell you this, the older I get, the more I appreciate God's grace. I think we take it for granted sometimes. God's grace is remarkable. We don't deserve anything from him. But through faith in Christ, he gives us everything. And so we have to continue to remember that. That's why I asked Chip to read from Romans. While we were God's enemies, Jesus died for us. That's how much he loves us. Now, it's one thing to stand up here and tell you that. It's another thing to ask the following question. How does this impact your life? Does it impact your life? How do you show this practically in your life every day? I'm going to go out on a limb here, okay? So don't hate me, okay? I think there are some people in this world who are by nature grumpy, right? Not by nature. You know, they're kind of grumpy. And if we fall into that category of grumpy, I would just raise a note of caution, because even the grumpiest has a lot to be thankful for. There are some who fall into the category of being critical. I'm not talking about in a healthy way, but in an unhealthy way. I think that goes along with grumpiness, right? The grumpiest man I ever knew, be honest with you, was my grandfather. I mean, nothing made him happy, right? No, nothing. And he couldn't speak a word of English because he was from Italy. And he couldn't speak a word of English. And yet, every Wednesday night, he would turn on the television and watch wrestling. Yeah? And it's all fake. You know it's all fake, right? He watched wrestling, and he'd yell at the television. Yeah? And in Italian, he would swear at the bad guy, right? And root the good guy. But I never remember him smiling at anything. He was mean with people. And I think we've all known, people like this. Maybe we have been people like this. And it's really not good. A Christ follower needs to walk in the grace of God. A Christ follower needs to understand that God now makes it possible for our lives to show his love as he works in and through us. And I think we lose that because, listen, before I went to seminary, I was in the corporate world. And I understand, you come to church Sunday, you go back to work Monday, and it's like, okay, we're back in the real world. No. In the real world, God calls us to be salt and light. In the real world, he calls us to love people, even if they're our enemies, because Jesus loved us while we were still his enemies. Even in the real world, we're called to do everything that we do to glorify God. So I want to go through this with you. It's only a couple of verses. I'm not sure how far we'll get today. But this is such good stuff, I don't I don't want to rush it. I'm going to go back to verse 12. Can you do that for me, Em? Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse... All right, you can stay there. Verse 14. I'm going to read verse 12 to you. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, every one of you have come to Christ, you were chosen. You didn't run after God. Jesus came after you. You were chosen. Okay? Then he goes on to say, you are holy, that is positionally holy. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, all our sin is forgiven, past, present, future. And positionally, we're set apart for God, for his glory. And that's not anything we did. That's what Jesus did. This is part of his grace towards us. And then he says, clothe yourselves with compassion. We talked about this last week. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Doesn't sound like there's any room for grumpiness here, huh? Right? And then next verse, Em, if you can. Bear with each other and forgive one another. We talked a lot about this last week. If any of you has a grievance against someone, seems to me we like to hold grudges. And that puts us in shackles with the person against whom we have the grudge. It says forgive. And sometimes that takes time, I understand that. But forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that's where I want to start today. Above all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them in perfect unity. There are three words in the Greek language for love. We only have one, by the way, right, in our language. But there are three words. The first one is philios, which means brotherly love. Philadelphia, right? Okay. The second word is eros, which is the love between a husband and wife. Intimacy, right? The third is agape love, which is unconditional love that God has for us. The word that's used in this passage is agape. Over all of these virtues, put on love. Whose love? The love of Christ. Not ours. We love him perfectly. Christ loves perfectly and unconditionally. And he says, this really is the, if I can put it this way, the rubber band that holds all of these virtues together. If any of these virtues are not done in love, then we're doing them for the wrong motivation. We're doing for the wrong reason. Many years ago, Dr. Ben Carson spoke at my son's college graduation. And I just love the man. I mean, he's an incredible man. For those of you who don't know, he was the first man to separate Siamese twins who were joined at the head and shared a brain, really. And he developed that procedure. So when he came up to the pulpit, or the podium to speak to the graduates, he started out this way. You know, he did all the usual greetings. And he said, I was told that I could not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Then he looks at everybody, he says, I guess I'll never be invited back here again. And his whole message was based on the scriptures. It's amazing. He got, there had to be thousands of people. It was an outdoor tent. And he got seven standing ovations. Talked about the family, how important the family is. He talked about how important it is to give back to your community as Jesus helped people, right? One of the things that stood out for me, back then, the 4 years of college at the college Joey went to was approximately $90,000 for the 4 years. Now you can't get $90,000 in 2 years, right? That's how much it's gone up. But he gets up to, the, you know, in part of his message, he says, whatever you graduated in, if you did this to make money and money alone, don't bother doing it. But he says, if you're going to do something to serve people, do it. In other words, if you're going to be a physician, sorry, doc. All right. If you're going to be a physician, don't do it because of the money. Do it because you love people. If you're going to be a computer programmer, don't do it just for the money. Do it for the love of people. You know, and there's a lot of sense in that when you think about it. I think this is what separates a job from a vocation. Does that make sense? Because when we look at the work God has given us as a vocation from Him, that changes how we do everything. Or it ought to. It ought to. Listen, every type of work is honest labor. Except if you're in the mafia or something like that, you know. Every type of work is honest labor. God honors honest work. Work is good for us. It's good for us. And through work, it gives us a chance to serve people. We need to recover that. My sense is that, you know, going through COVID and being in isolation, we missed that interaction. And that's going to hurt us going forward. You know, even with the kids in school, doing school at home, I know it was necessary, you know, at some points, but I don't know if our children will ever be able to recover from that socially and academically. You know, it's difficult. It really is difficult. Yeah, I'm picking on Doc today. Doc is a surgeon. You wouldn't want a surgeon doing your surgery by Zoom. It is going that way, I know. You know, I love Gloria. Gloria had to have a procedure done. I forget for what, but the doctor came in the operating room. I think this is when she broke her ankle. The doctor came in the operating room, and the first question was, "Did you get a good night's sleep?" He says, "I know the doctor." And he says, "Yeah, why do you ask?" He says, "I want you at your best." He says, "I'll take good care of you." As a doctor, who cares? You're not just a number. You're not just an insurance form. You're this man who has, and Doc is like that too. I bust him, but Doc is invested in his patients. I know he is. But you understand, this ought to affect everything we do. Let me go to the next verse. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body," that's the church, by the way, you are called to peace, and be thankful. There's a lot here. I'm not sure if we'll get through it all today, but let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Practically speaking, how do you do that? Does anybody want to take a guess? Practically speaking. No? Okay, good, Chip. Prayer. Prayer is essential for this, right? There used to be a phrase. I don't know if you heard it in the military or Doc, for those of you who are in the military. Foxhole Christians, right? When you know, when you're in a foxhole and you're getting fired at, you learn to pray. No, you don't. You don't. You got some big cannons, though. And that's not the peace of Christ, okay? The peace of Christ has to come from Him. It's of Christ, which means you need to have a relationship with Him through faith. You need to be in His Word. That's essential. You need to be in His Word. You need to be studying His Word. You need to be in fellowship in a church. preferably involved in discipleship or a Bible study also, because we have to keep these things in front of us. I think there are more people who know what television program is on at what time than people who can come to the scriptures and say, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, and that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. One of the biggest problems in this country is our biblical illiteracy. And I think that's even why in the church you see so much unrest. Because we're not in the scriptures as we should. We were called to peace. Now listen, that peace is not the absence of war. That peace is a settled relationship between us and God through Jesus Christ. Because before Christ, we were at war with God. Whether you realize it or not, those people who reject Christ never have peace. Never have peace. They say they will. But where do they draw their peace from, right? Activities, money, some bad stuff maybe, immorality, you know, name it, entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but when you try to draw your peace from these things, it's like it lasts for a second, and then it's gone. You know, kids can teach us a lot. I'm talking about like toddlers. There were years, you know, that on Christmas time we would put the presents under the tree, you know, and Joey was a toddler. It's not just my family, it's all families. And you get them this present you think they'll enjoy. They open it up, they see what it is, and they say, oh, they put it aside and they play with the box. Right? They put it aside and they play with the box. He said, I could have saved a lot of money here. I should have just wrapped up the box, right? And for the peace of God to rule in our hearts, we need to be worshiping. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying. We need to be confessing on a daily basis in order to experience the peace of God. You know what that prevents? That prevents what I call, the Christian roller coaster effect. The roller coaster effect is this. You come to service or you go to a Bible study and you walk out and you're up here. You go to a retreat. This happens on retreats too. You're up here. And then Monday comes. And you go, pfft. Or you get the call that one of the pipes in your house is leaking. Or you get in your car and it breaks down on the parkway. I mean, there's enough stuff to bring us away from Christ. Now listen, I'm not saying you should be happy about those things, but there's a difference between peace and joy and happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. I'm glad my car worked today, right? I'm glad I didn't have a flat tire, right? I'm glad, as far as I know, I don't have any leaks in my house right now. We can be glad for all those things, but that's not where my peace comes from. It has to come from my relationship with Jesus. And then he says, and be thankful. Oh. Through the most difficult times, and those of us with some mileage, you know what I mean by that, right? Know that many times when life gets tough, we know that God can use that to bring us closer to him. We know in some sense, this too shall pass, right? We know that we can be thankful that in bad times, God hasn't abandoned us. That's important. Well, what are some of the bad times? An illness, right? The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, we can go on and on, you know? I knew a family on Christmas Eve, I'm laughing about it now, but they were great about it, strong believers. On Christmas Eve, their hot water heater in the garage malfunctioned and the whole house burned down. This is on Christmas Eve, right? And I called the husband, and I said, "Is there anything we can do?" He says to me, "God's got it under control." You know, just like that. I said, "Are you all okay?" He says, "Yeah, we're all okay. But God's going to use this somehow." And, you know, I'm not sure if I would have been that chipper. And he wasn't putting on an act. It came from his heart. You know, God's got this. He's got this. Whatever way this works out, he got this. When it ended up, the people in the church got together and gave them a Christmas, you know, and one of the families invited that family to live with them, you know, until the house was built. I mean, you know, even through a tragedy like that, God can use tragedies as opportunities for people to grow, for people to bless and love other people. I mean, and we can be thankful even on the worst days. Even on the worst. And it can't be phony. You're allowed to feel what you feel. When we have a loss, you need to grieve. Okay? But you can still have peace with Christ. And you can still be thankful. Listen, I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, I lost 4 friends to COVID. And in my prayer, I say, okay, Lord, why are you sustaining me? You know, I mean, I don't deserve any special treatment here. You know, why? And I think we have to come to the point to know that we're not in control. God's in control. I need to obey him, period. And I obey him out of love because he loved me. So I'm just bringing you one or two verses, and then we'll stop for today. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. He's talking to the church now, the believers. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through what? Psalms. And what else? Hymns. And what else? Songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with what? Let me tell you something. You want to get yourself out of the doldrums? You know, you've had a bad day, a bad week, bad month. Worship. Worship. I don't care if it's in your car. I don't care if it's in your shower. I don't care if it's at Berkeley Island, where nobody can hear you. Worship. We're going to talk about the importance of this next week. But I want you to look at something here. Unfortunately, the evangelical church went through what we call worship wars. And this is when some of the modern writers started to come out with the new songs, you know? And this shows you how short-sighted we can be and what creatures of habit we are. Listen, a lot of the hymns are great. They're rich theologically. And we need to sing them. But there are some that are not so good, okay? Theologically speaking. There are some musically speaking that aren't so good. But theologically speaking, there are some that are not so good, okay? Psalms, we have the Psalms. They were all songs, right? Songs of the Spirit, which some of the modern songs come out of. Shout to the Lord. Blessed, right? Amazing love. I mean, these are all good songs. There's no reason why we shouldn't sing them. So when some of the new songs came out, oh, man, oh, you can't do that. We've always done hymns. Now, wait, let's back up. Do you realize that at one point, the hymn, when it was introduced, was new? right? It was new. If you ever get a chance to read the biography of Martin Luther, you should do it. Martin Luther, of course, the leader of the Reformation, he was musical too. He penned the words for "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," right? He borrowed a bar song to do that. Here's the reason. Because people in Germany knew the bar song, he just changed the words to glorify God. And the church went into an uproar. You can't sing that! That glorifies God. How many of you didn't know that? Right? It's in every hymnal, right? We really have to be careful. Listen. Tastes vary. You know, some people like certain types of music, other people like other types of music. That's never going to change, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand, you have to evaluate each song and say, does this bring glory and honor to God? And those leading worship have to keep the attitude saying, am I up here to glorify myself? Or to bring honor to God. We're going to go in more detail this next week. This is how this stuff practically works out. And, you know, in saying all of this, we're going to come to the next verse, and I'll give you a heads up. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Do you remember some years ago, the fad that was going around was, what would Jesus do? You remember that, right? I would rather change that. The way I do it in my own life is this way. If Jesus was with me, would I be doing what I'm doing? And he is with me, isn't he? Well, we're going to unpack that next week. But you know, I have a relative who likes to hear me preach, and he's a great orator. So he came to a service several years ago, and he writes me a note, and he says, I really liked your message. Told me I should have been a lawyer. That's how well I argued the case. But he says, you do way too much singing. And I said, well, get used to it. You know, stop your belly aching, right? Get used to it, because in heaven, part of what we're going to do is worship. And those of redo, right? You know, Sharon will never have to stop you and say, wait, no, you're singing wrong. That's all going to be taken care of beyond our imagination. Listen, be grateful for today. Will there be problems tomorrow? Yeah. But today has enough problems of its own. That's what Jesus says. But whatever we do, we make sure we do it for the glory of God. Because Jesus loves us so much, he died for us. And we need to respond in love to him. I was going to ask you to do a report card on yourself to see how you do in these areas, but I'll leave that to you. And I'm going to ask Chip to come up and Kristen. My prayer with this last song, listen, none of us is perfect. Can we get that on the table? All right. None of us is perfect. We've all sinned. We need to confess that sin. Part of confession and prayer ought to be thankfulness. So I'm going to ask you to stand, if you're able, and thank the Lord. Before we pray, I want to leave you with this thought. The Greek word that's used in the scriptures for thankful is eucharisto. It means to be thankful. That's where Eucharist comes from. To be thankful, right? My prayer is going to be that we leave here with a thankful spirit. No matter what we face, we leave thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that in both good times and bad, you help us to give thanks to our Lord. I pray, Father, that in good times and bad, to what your word calls us to do. And I pray, Father, for all of us, that you increase our love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless. Thank you for coming.